Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We got a quick, very quick update on something in Ukraine, and it really highlights why we need to get the hell out of Ukraine and stay out of Ukraine and stop sending them material. We need to offer their civilian safe passage to somewhere in Europe, and that should be the extent of our help, other than maybe humanitarian medical aid. Hey, we're brought to you by Fire Pit Mini. This is absolutely an incredible device. Have you all considered what would happen to you, what would happen to your food if you had a grid down or had to bug out? Have you ever thought about that? Well, I want to very quickly here talk about this here with you, because the Fire Pit Mini, you can see it right here. Great device. You'll be able to cook anywhere. It's lightweight, easily transportable if you had to bug out, durable construction. High quality stainless steel, rust resilient, high temperature tolerance, versatile fuel supply. Look at this. You can run this on branches, leaves, pine cone, wood, and so forth. Absolutely incredible, portable and convenient. 25% off coupon code holiday. I think everyone needs to have one of these. Great protection against grid down or if you had to bug out. FireMiniPit.com. The link will be in the description box. Well, the quick story I want to leave you with before we go on to our next segment with Doug, it's this, and I'm really, really upset about it. There's been reports now for 18 months coming out of Ukraine that the invasion of the smart body snatchers is at work, that they have these roving teams of kidnappers that drive up and down the road, and they look for young males as young as 13, 12 years old, to snatch them off the street. No, it's not child sex trafficking, as far as we know. It's a fate that might even be worse. You go, that must be bad. That's right. They're snatching them to put them in the military. Now, the law doesn't prevent any allow anyone under 15, but they're going way below that because they're so desperate for bodies. And so they're snatching these young boys off the street. And they're sending them to training, can't escape. They'll shoot them on sight if they try. And then they put them up on the front lines and use them as cannon fodder. If that is not the most disgusting thing that you've ever heard of, I don't know what is. I got to tell you, I am so upset by this that anyone who could support a regime that is doing this needs their head examined. Of course, you look at the immorality of NATO and the causes they support. Our country's gone totally Roman. Actually, the Romans didn't go as far as we've gone with immorality. And now we're looking at a situation where these poor young boys are being abducted. I just want to pull my hair out. I want to scream at the top of my lungs, not one more dime for this corrupt regime. And it is corrupt. Zelensky is a known pervert, he's a despot. He persecutes his own people. They call Ukraine a democracy. So we can spend our money and supplies supporting a regime that does this, and we can't defend our borders. Are you kidding me? Have you had enough? I've had enough. I hope by now you've had enough. And I just thought I would bring this to your attention. And you're going to want to stay tuned because we're going to have a great report on the Doug and Dave Intel report. But my goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen, I am just thoroughly disgusted with what we are seeing. And like I said, it's a good thing I'm no longer on certain social media because I'd be banned for saying this. Get the hell out of Ukraine. That's it for the Common Sense Show on this side of it. Stay tuned for more. Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Well, we're done with the Reawaken America tour. Got to meet a lot of great people. And so I just got to say this. People say, well, who are you most impressed with? Well, quite a few people, but in particular, I was impressed with the humility and the professionalism of General Flynn. I can see why Donald Trump likes him so much. I can see why everybody likes him so much. He's credible. He's down to earth. He's a good man. Had a good time there. I got to meet a lot of people that, I got to meet a lot of people who I recognize the names on our comment section. It was great doing that. I love that part of it. But yeah, I'm kind of glad to be getting back home. But we got Doug on tonight, and this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Doug of the American Vindicta Show, me of the Common Sense Show. Before we get started, though, I want to tell you about something that we really, really like, and it's the Nightwatch Pro. Take binoculars, you can see people from far away. Take night vision, you can see people in the dark. You take Nightwatch Pro, you can see people in the dark and far away. And if you're involved in a situation to where, you could have some unfriendlies encroaching upon you because of social conditions, this is really a thing to do. I know the late Bob Griswold used to talk to me a lot about, and you heard him here on the show. Bob used to talk a lot about the importance of night vision, but putting binoculars on it is a real game changer. And they have the ability to record video at 4K and replay it. And they also have the ability to take still photos, high definition. Really a unique device. And it's pennies on the dollar compared to what you'll typically pay for night vision. And they're giving you an additional 25% off with the coupon code HOLIDAY. So go to nightwatchpro.com and you'll see everything you want to see about that. And they have a couple demonstrations. It's pretty cool. Nightwatchpro.com. Well, Doug, we got some interesting and concerning events that have taken place. Christopher Wray admits to an estimated 80,000 terrorists in America, and I believe they're beginning to strike. What do you think?
No, I think it's the same thing. I think that the closer we get to the elections, the more things are going to unfold, not in our favor. The economy is probably, one of the things you've been talking about the most is probably going to be the most affected. Of course, if the economy goes down during the holidays, during this new fiscal year, what a cascading event that could be for people geopolitically here in America. Everyone went rioting in 2020 because they were told to by George Soros. What will he do this time? How will George Soros influence this time? And what other factors come with your debit card, your credit card, your American dollar? If it doesn't work, if it's not worth anything, how do people buy stuff? And so, this is when it'll be more than just a bunch of hooligans rushing to the next iPhone store like they did in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia when they smashed store after store after store. What's coming will be so much worse than that if we're not spared that, So I'm gonna throw it back at you. CBDC, how close are we?
Hard to say. My feeling is they got to congregate us into the smart cities before it'll really work. Because if people are in the hinterland, the suburbs, the rural areas, they'll find ways to be self-sustaining outside the system. And CBDCs are based on controlling every aspect of your life in a small, confined area that's controlled by the authorities. So they got to force people off their farms, they got to force people out of their homes. And they're preparing for it. I mean, Biden laid down $45 billion of seed money to convert commercial real estate that's vacant into residential real estate that's climate change friendly. And I think that's just the beginning. Also, too, the UN has got a provision they're putting into sustainable developmental goals I found last week. And it says that for climate mitigation, homeowners will be responsible for mitigating their climate deficiencies with their homes. And the estimated cost is between 35 and 40,000 per homeowner. And we know that most people won't have that. So they'll force people out of their homes that way. Of course, there's going to be a real estate collapse. 35 million elderly people are looking to downsize according to the data. And that's basically going to crash the market with that many homes go on the market. Your average homeowner right now that's buying is 49 years of age. So they can't sustain this kind of volume without a crash. And realtors are under attack now to get their commission. I mean, big time attack. So what I'm saying is, and this is what actually I talked about at the Clay Clark event. There's CBDC, which will control everything about you, but there's also getting you out of the urban, suburban, rural areas and into densely packed stacking packs. Doug, I think it's going to come in, but I don't think it'll be real rigid until they have people confined in these enclaves. And
you think it'll come back to COVID-like stuff again?
Yeah, I think that's another element too. I didn't mention it in my presentation today because I was limited on time, but we know Ebola is on the fringe, Marburg's disease and Ebola. And if people can be told, come here for safety, if there's a food crisis, come here for food. I think that those are also incentives to get people to move into stack and pack cities. And then Katie bar the door, CBDCs come in. And let's not mince words. CBDC, if it's controlling everything you can buy and sell, that's the mark of the beast. There's no other way to look at it.
Yeah.
And this is the end of humanity as we know it until the Lord returns. In fact, the Bible's really clear. It says no flesh would be left alive if Jesus didn't return. And these people are into transhumanism and having a small amount of humans that are a servant class to them. And I said this today in my presentation, and I don't think some people liked it. I think most of the audience did. They understood it. I said, I've gone through the smart city, which people will be congregated into. I've gone through pretty much everything there is to read on it. And here's what's missing, Doug. There's nowhere in there that accounts for elderly and handicapped. Well, everything you need is within 15 minutes. You can walk, you can bike anywhere. No, not if you're 80 years old and you have a walker. What about when there's a foot of snow on the ground and it's 20 degrees outside? That doesn't make any sense. I think what we're looking at here is excuses to get people to congregate. But I see, like, okay, look, if you and I were to build a building and open a business, we'd have to have handicap ramps. We'd have to have special bathroom facilities for the handicapped. We'd have to go to a lot of expense to do that to satisfy the Americans with Disability Act. Yet in the smart cities, Doug, there's none of that. I think they're going to exterminate these people.
Is there assisted living homes?
There is nothing like that that's mentioned. I've looked for all this. I've been through the UN literature. I've been through the smart city C40 literature in the 90 cities that I can find. They don't have one thing. They say we want to treat all people equally and we'll all help each other. But that's about as close as they get to, let's look at it this way. What's simultaneously going on in Washington, Oregon, and Canada? Euthanasia. And in Canada, they're euthanizing people for mental illness, for depression, for autism. And I'm thinking, I think it's going to come to the smart cities and they're going to get rid of the undesirables. I think also too, the dissidents will be lined up like this. It's Nazi Germany all over again.
So what it makes me think is actually like, is there going to be an attack upon the rice and the wheat? Obviously, India is saying that now's the time to hoard all rice. And what, a quarter or more of the world receives its rice from India.
I think they know what's coming.
If you had a blight that struck wheat, that struck the soybean, that struck all this crap that we grow, that, you know, for the most part, it's automated now. And who's the biggest farmer in America? Bill Gates. So, you know, if you had a major blight, if Monsanto completely reversed its workings and destroyed everything instead of just bastardizing and hybridizing what it was growing upon, then yeah, you would force people into these conclaves. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like the 15-minute city is the conclave.
It's exactly what it is.
A place for survival.
Doug, let me explain to you what's going on in the UK. There's two cities. One of them is Oxford. The other is, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't recall the name. I think it's Yorkshire, if I remember correctly. But they've divided their cities up into six districts. And you have to have an electronic passport to pass from one district to another. And it's heavy fines if you violate. You're only allowed to go outside your area so many times a year. And after that, you have to get special permission. If you want to use your car, you got to file for a permit for one car use. That's what we're looking at, that kind of level of control. There's something else she said that triggered a thought in me and I lost it. But I think at the end of the day, what we're looking at here is this. When you force people to congregate into small, confined areas, I don't have to give you a conspiracy theory. All I got to do is open a history book. And the history book says genocide.
Yeah, not only that, but you end up having a lopsided amount of authoritative power to the state, to law enforcement, and to the military being in some sort of conflict. And then the people are hustled in, which also means no firearms.
Yeah. I recall what I was going to say is you were talking about a virus upon the food. And that's pretty much what you're saying, a blight upon the food.
Yeah.
I'll go back to predictive programming and the TV show that was lasted, I believe, 6 years called The Last Ship. It was on TNT.
It did happen there.
Yeah. Well, everything there was just incredible. Michael Bay was the director for a TNT series. Okay. Michael Bay, one of the best, most respected Hollywood producers, stepped down about three levels. I'm not insulting TNT, but it's not like a Hollywood production. And I thought he was out of place, but they brought in the best to do the best. And the special effects were good. But in the course of that show, what they had was a pandemic. And they even had the shedding effect where you no longer had to inject people. You just had to breathe on them to spread the vaccine effects. And then the second thing they had was a blight upon the food. And millions starved to death worldwide until they solved the problem. And then finally, they had a Red Dawn invasion out of South America. Yeah. I mean, those were the 6 years. And also, don't forget, they had war with China.
There's another plausible scenario here, civil war. Look at the predictive programming from Obama's movie, Cyber Attack. And then this new movie, Civil War, that's supposed to be coming out in the spring of 24. If America went into a state of collapse, let's say because the dollar fell, and then you have civil war, you have this continuing attack upon the electric grid, cyber attack, physical attack. Remember I told you a long time ago, a unique way to take control of people is if you take down the grid and then you raise the grid back up singularly, one region at a time or one territory at a time, you could control everything. And then the internet is also yours as well, like China. Makes sense then too, because that's Silicon Valley who has their little, you know, Weasley hands in everything now. And it plays into that whole, you know, social credit score. Oh, you can't come into our conclave if you don't have a good social credit score. By the way, turn in your guns. No guns here. It's gun-free zone.
No gold, no food storage.
No self-reliance.
I was talking to a group of people today from the Clay Clark audience after my presentation, and people were asking me questions. About 15 people standing around outside, and people were saying, well, Dave, what should we accumulate? And I said, well, pretty much what I say on my show, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, and, you know, some accessories. But I said, the reality is this. I said, the government can take it, so you better hide it. And they can, FEMA has a regulation that says they can take food over 3 days supply. So if you have 4 days, they can grab a day. But who's to say what a supply is? They could take the whole thing. They're in the confiscation mode. And people need to know if you got gold and food and so forth and guns, hey, someone stole them. Don't know. Bury them. Bury them. And don't bury them all in your backyard. Mark locations in rural areas and bury them. And disguise it and make sure you mark carefully where it's at. That's my best advice to people, because anything that promotes independence from the system, they're going to take it away. The other thing that occurred to me too, and if I had more time in the presentation today, I would have mentioned this. Another way they're going to get you into the stack and pack cities is to turn these estimated 80,000 terrorists and the Chinese soldiers we know crossing the border and so forth. They're going to turn them loose. it'll be like the old medieval days. If your community was being attacked, was it better to be a serf on the feudal manor, or was it better to be inside the castle? Well, obviously the answer would be to be inside the castle. But today's equivalent of being inside the castle would be a stack and pack city. Come here, we can protect you.
Those walls that you would have to build and those gates to let people in and out, that territory would then shrink more and more and more.
Yeah.
It would take a less amount of time. You know, you mentioned the border. I have an article right here. I told you about it just a few days ago. 10 IEDs found at the border in a cartel gunfight. The Mexican military, the Mexican police, they found after a gunfight with the cartel, a bus right there on our border filled with 10 improvised explosive devices. Where were they going to? And if they were traveling north of that border, well, then how many more did we not catch?
Well,
and this,
go ahead.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
Well, this is the problem in law enforcement. People need to understand that when in regards to the border, when we're working the border, I mean, you know, if 300 people cross the border, well, then most likely 3,000 got away. That's always the ratio. It's a 3-to-1 kind of deal. So if we have 40 million documented illegal immigrants, you know, in America, then how many of them did we not document?
I agree.
I mean, you have an entire nation that has a nation plus multiple nations at this rate that have crossed into our border.
Yeah. Doug, hold for 1 second here. I got to fix a technical issue. Okay, the show must go on. All right. I agree totally with what you're saying. The getaways are an issue, but we don't have to even speculate about hypothetical. There was a press conference held 2 weeks ago by Ted Cruz and John Cornyn and two other senators. Cruz and Cornyn told about their experiences as they went on patrol with the Border Patrol. They caught sex traffickers, no question in their mind, these senators, and they said they had to let them go. Who? Who's telling you got to let them go? Biden, Mayorkas. Okay, then they came across guys that had IEDs. And Cruz was telling this story. He goes, okay, you got the IEDs, but why aren't you arresting these people? We're not allowed to. Now, Doug, this did not appear anywhere on mainstream media that I'm aware of. This went through the internet and went to alternative sources like us. But it was Cruz and Cornyn. Do I have to say any more about how prevalent this is and how we're destroying ourselves?
And this is an entire southern and northern border problem. It's not just, you know, along the southern border. But Mexico is also to blame for much of our problems, along with mm-hmm. China and Russia mm-hmm. and all the others. But the biggest blame on these problems is the administration and is Congress. So they're the ones who make the laws and tell us to enforce the laws and the policies, rules, regulations. And yet they know the problem with the border. They know all the problems with the border. Let's say that they are very aware of it and nothing is done. Yet countries are sending us everything and anything that they have. They're literally emptying prisons.
Yes.
And sending it our way.
Mental institutions too.
Yeah, eventually that tally is going to really stand against us if we don't do anything about it. But, you know, even if Trump gets in, I don't know what he'll do if he was even allowed to be president again. If he does become president and he does work on the border, those projects all got to get rewrote. Scope of work's got to be rewrote up. All these movers and shakers got to get all this approving from Congress and so on and so forth. And it took almost 2.5 years for Trump to get a wall initiated. So all those contractors that are there who've had those contracts canceled, and all that equipment and all the pieces of the wall have already been sold. So, I mean, you'd have to restart all over again. It almost makes sense that the best way to curtail this is just to deploy the military on the border.
I was just going to say that. Forget the wall. Go with electronic surveillance, overflights, and on-the-ground troops. By the way, this is going to shock the living hell out of you. Katie Hobbs, the reprobate governor of Arizona, the thiever of all elections, she's announced she's going to deploy the National Guard to the Arizona-Mexico border.
Yep, saw that.
Were you caught as off guard by that as I was?
Well, so when the Texas National Guard is deployed on our border, they cannot detain. They can only observe, and they're just a body that fills a slot somewhere, and it's just for observation uses.
Yeah, that's worthless then.
Well, I mean, if that's the same thing Katie Hobbs is doing, then, I mean, she's really not doing anything at all, unless they have detention powers that were granted to them.
I doubt it. She has asked for reimbursement from Biden, and they haven't answered. So I don't think there's any type of agreement in place. I'll tell you why she's doing this. There are some more centrist Democrats in Arizona who are beginning to get cold feet. They don't like the extent of what's happening in the state where the cartel is running the politicians. They're running the judges. They're running a lot of law enforcement. And the Thaler report is real, folks. It's a 120,000-page report with 20,000 affidavits with an experienced 30-year seasoned investigator on RICO investigations, which is what this is. And I have been told that some of the Democrats are getting cold feet, one, because they don't want to be implicated by inference or by reality. And two, they don't necessarily like what's going on. They don't want the extent of what's happening. It's one thing to stand up and say, yay, yay, immigrants come in, we love you, we're sanctuary, whatever. It's another thing when it really starts to happen. And we've seen that in New York and in other places now. So this whole thing is getting so dicey in Arizona. When the Democrats start breaking with Katie Hobbs, then she had to do something to bring them back in under the umbrella. And I was told this is probably the motivation for what she's doing. She's afraid of fragmenting the Democratic Party and losing a lot of control in the 2024 election.
Well, as inflation continues to rise, and eventually when the dollar just zeroes itself out, you're going to have such a large influx of immigrants who are getting Federal Reserve notes. They're getting grants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're on SSI. They're on Social Security. They're getting housing, food, cell phone, internet, free college, getting lined up with jobs. And then the American patriot is losing all those things. So you're going to have a colliding of forces eventually. Kind of reminiscent to what you see that's happening in Chicago and also in New York, where you're having American citizens who are out actively day and night protesting these areas where these immigrants are coming in from, who are also, you know, being sent straight into schools. And it just makes me think, when does this house of cards finally fall and who is left standing? Because if the immigrants then can't eat and they can't get a job, their internet, their cell phone, well, I mean, do the landlords lock them out, cut them out? You know, do they?
They won't push be allowed them to. Out? We saw that in COVID.
No, of course
they
not.
They won't be allowed to.
Yeah, but Americans will lose their houses. Americans will lose their cars. They'll lose their cell phones. They'll lose all their privileges that they believe that they have, that the economy, which is driven by the dollar, which is strangled by our politics. When people really start to get aware of this, when we have that second lockdown come, I don't think people are going to be copacetic this time. I think people are going to be pissed off and mad about it.
I think with one exception,
they're going to riot.
There's an exception. If it's Ebola, I think that people will comply.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be Ebola mass spread. It just has to look like it has to have the allure of it, like COVID was originally.
I think they beta tested that in 2014. Remember, we had 19 cases. I think a lot of them were in Texas. And two people died. And there were a lot of medical professionals then who had the freedom to speak out, like Dr. Jane Orient, the head of the Arizona Medical Association. I had her on the show a couple times, and Dr. Orient said, I almost feel like we're being tested. No, it's her exact words. I feel like we're being tested. In other words, what will the public response be to something like an Ebola? And I think they got some answers. I think they can't bring out something that's on a level with the flu, like with COVID. They've got to bring out something that's demonstrably more lethal, or at least make the public believe it's more lethal.
Well, yeah, and then get CDC and all their ilk out there to, you know, beat the war drums 24/7. Yeah, I mean, you just take a few nasty videos of people throwing up buckets of blood and bleeding out of every orifice and dropping dead. And then they say, well, you know, and now Ebola since 2017, when I was on the border, Ebola is now proven to be aerosolized.
Yeah.
So it can be spread in the air. Ebola can live for up to 20 days now or more on a doorknob. So people are freaking out about that. The mask will come back. Hell, people will be wearing scuba tank gear if they think that it'll protect them. You know, Americans have a funny way of reacting to things. And sometimes it's nonchalant. We could care less. We're Americans. And then there's this ridiculous knee-jerk reaction. And, you know, the people who caused the knee-jerk reaction, it's not the federal government. It's the local government. It's your state and then your local. So your governor down to the mayors, down to the sheriff's departments, police departments, health departments. And once they start telling businesses, nope, you're locking down, you're locking down, you're locking down. People are going to lose jobs. Again, we had a huge suicide presence for 2 years there. And we're finally starting to go down from that slide of, you know, this large amount of suicides. And so if that comes back, I mean, just think of the anarchy. Oh, and by the way, they arrest Trump, or, you know, they don't allow Trump to become president. That's whom everybody wants as president. So, and I, once again, I don't see Biden running for president. I see Newsom doing it.
I would agree with you. Biden's reached the end of the road. There's no question. And I don't think he could even get elected inside his own party. This is why they can't have a primary. Any legitimate candidate would replace him. RFK would have destroyed him in the primary.
Well, you can't have an election if you have an active war going on. Now, I will say this. The global war on terrorism for 20 years was never declared a war by Congress. So I've been kind of predicting, and you and I have been talking about this, I almost expect Congress, this Congress, to declare war on either Iran and China or Russia and China and anyone, almost like a global war on terror again, but official. Because if you can make it official, that means that then you could suspend elections. But something has to happen in the United States inside of CONUS in order for that threat value to be increased. Is it, you know, another 9/11? Is it a terrorist attack against Trump or against Biden?
There has to be a false flag. I totally agree with you.
There's got to be a driving motive for it.
You know, let me tell you something Hal Turner said that I've been contemplating. It's a novel idea, but I think it's real. I think his notion is one possibility of many. Everyone thinks we're going to manufacture a war with Iran, and I think that's probably the most likely scenario. But Hal said something yesterday I thought was really worth taking note of. He's talking about the accumulation of massive naval assets in the Middle East, and that's true. There is. And he said, but they're not going to attack Iran. They're going to attack Saudi Arabia for joining the BRICS. And I thought, holy crap, does that make sense? Because then the UAE and other close neighbors are going to fall very quickly. And then all of a sudden, Biden has the oil he needs to keep things going for a while, particularly with a war effort.
Well, and expect a naval confrontation off the shore of Guyana.
Yeah.
You can expect it at this point.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that's not in line so much with what Hal Turner's saying. I do agree with what you're saying, though. And it could be a simultaneous event. But what do you think? Do you think that, well, first of all, if the U.S. attacks Saudi Arabia, and this is what got my attention, I don't see Russia coming to their defense. What do you think?
I don't know. If everybody declares war upon Israel and you got 10 nations plus that are in war mode with jets in the air, it may just be too damn hot for us to come in.
Yeah.
You know,
Russia, if we attack Iran, since they're the choice of oil for the BRICS, Russia will respond, and they'll probably respond with nuclear weapons.
And so will China. That's where China's getting all this petroleum.
Yeah.
Is Iran. See, Russia has a plethora of timber and of petroleum and of natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
But you need multiple outlets. You got to have multiple outlets. One is none, two is one, three is two. So that same terminology still applies when it comes to your natural resources, because that's what drives the war. You got to feed the soldiers. You got to keep the gas in the tanks and in the planes. And you got to have something that maintains a state of normality for the populace. And if that populace within all these multiple countries within the BRICS nations is destabilized because they don't have resources, well, it's going to be hard for them to go to war too. So almost like World War II, to the extent of World War I, almost every time we've gone to war in the last 100+ years, it's been over resources. So that's what that fight's going to be. But with the Belt and Road Initiative, the Caribbean is completely bought and paid for now. By who, Dave?
No, by China.
China. Yeah. By China.
And I think you have a valid point about Guyana. But I think you have to admit, Hal's idea is interesting, isn't it?
It is. Saudi Arabia was a pivotal point because we had such a large air base there. And then you have Qatar. We have another air base there. You got Djibouti, Africa. We got a huge presence for AFCOM there. So if those bases were ever to come under attack, or we had to flee from there like we did Afghanistan, then our foothold there is gone. And we'd have to deploy everything from our aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
and that's and just it, not, not
you're making
be
my point. And I think you're making Hal's point too. And here's why. We've not replaced the strategic oil reserves, which is exactly what the military needs. That's made for the military. Yep. Okay, so where are you going to go for oil to keep a war going? That's why the Saudi Arabia situation is so intriguing. I don't know if Hal Turner talked about the strategic oil supplies depletion, but I'm sure it entered into his thinking. But let's go to Guyana. If this is true with Saudi Arabia, how does Guyana factor into this?
Well, they said that I listened to a 3- or 4-star general from the Pentagon, and she said that Guyana, because of its resources, the availability of shale oil right there at ground level, you don't even have to drill deep, and it could be extracted so easily, and it was a higher quality of oil. Well, you know, that's where I'm saying, like, we don't have to go outside of our own backyard, really, in order to extract it. But we don't have to go to Guyana to be outside of the Caribbean to get oil. start drilling in Texas, start drilling in Louisiana, start drilling in Alaska. I mean, we already have the
You know why
Keystone
we won't.
Pipeline.
It's obvious why we won't do that. Biden's mission is to destroy the U.S. economy, but he needs external oil right now to keep a war effort going.
I don't, yes, I agree with that, but I think there's another factor. His job was to weaken the military to the extent that we cannot project ourselves outside of CONUS. And
Yeah.
that's happening.
There's material out there on this too. We're at the lowest troop levels for the last 80 years. And 25% of the people 5 years ago said they weren't interested in joining the military. It wasn't part of their thinking. Today, that number has reached 50%. And that's the Gen Z figures, in that 15-year period of birth that are saying this. And one of the Pentagon spokespeople said, "We need a resurgence to national commitment." Yeah, and I'm going, yeah, no shit. Start with the White House, huh?
Yeah, they're going to go back to flyover country for recruitment.
There you go.
So you'll be able to see a lot of motivational recruiting ads again.
We're
But
seeing
if
them. We're
that.
seeing them already, Doug. You don't have the woke nonsense anymore. They're projecting actual toughness in their military ads.
Well, that's because they're going to have real, authentic fighting men
Yeah,
again.
exactly.
But they're. Like I said, there's going to have to be a kicker here in the United States because everybody with a cell phone now that has social media, you stand on three sides. You are either on the Democratic side, you're on the Republican side, or you're on the fence and you're leaning either way. So half the country at that rate will be asked to fight. A quarter of the country will be drafted to fight. And then let's say if another quarter or half of that even shows up when they're drafted, you'll have enough people to fight for a limited amount of time. A limited.
I'm interested that you mentioned if they show up for the draft, compliance is going to be a huge problem for them.
And who are you going to get? Local law enforcement to go and, snatch up people who aren't wanting to go and fight? I mean, at what point in time do people say, no, law enforcement don't even come down that road? It takes an entire group of people to agree to go to this war. But, we use that whole terminology of 3%. Only about 3%, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, actually showed up for the fights against the British. I think you'd get higher than 3% right now in America. Even 5% is still a large fighting force. But the great equal opportunity nation destroyer is the grid. And, I got an article pulled up right here about the Pentagon. Very interesting that the Pentagon is seeking to employ EMP weapons to eliminate drone swarms. Well, not just drone swarms on our aircraft carriers, drone swarms here in CONUS.
Yeah.
So, I think that's very interesting. And we're facing economic suicide right now. So let
Yeah,
me
but
ask you
Doug,
this.
let me say this before you go on from that statement. That's a big statement about economic suicide. And on one side of this coin, I totally agree with you. But on the other side, I agree with Bob Kudlow, economic expert I have on the show regularly. And Bob says, dollar goes down, so does every other nation. And he's right. It's too intertwined with the world economy.
Yep, to include
It
Russia and to include
will,
China.
exactly. Even though Russia is doing third party buying, the third party is us.
So it makes me think a few things. For one, if you can't get recruitment, well, now we're seeing why AI and robotics is becoming the talk of the town for replacing troops on the battlefield. Russia's doing it. China is not.
No,
China's still.
China started. They say they're going to have a division by next year. Saying it and doing it are two different things. I agree. But
they are more than willing to send 1 billion people our way. The problem is you got to cross a large pond to get to us. So you have to take down a few things in order for that pond. But what China has increased is the catastrophic cyber attacks. Right now, the United Kingdom says that they are under a constant watch for a cyber attack that would leave the country in a catastrophic state. They're watching that right now. China and Russia are working on continuing and advancing their technology for hypersonic missiles and for satellite killing drones. That's one of their biggest things, because you have to destroy key satellites in order to overwhelm us. You have to do it. You got to kill the ability for the troops to talk to each other, and you got to kill GPS. If you can do just a few things, because we're so heavily reliant now upon our electronic security systems, upon our ability to use anything satellite-based for talking to the troops, internet, anything like that, even programming fire missions now, artillery strikes, missile strikes, a lot of that's GPS guided. So you got to have what? GPS satellites. So if you take those things down, man, we're almost line of sight shooting at this point. We're going to have to apply a little bit of math and figure out where to drop rounds at accurately. So that means that our follow through would not be as near as fast either. But here's another one of these problems. Another one of these problems that we're about to face is the attack upon the media. Owen Schroeder is finally out of prison, but now they're going after another guy out of Florida who
the Blaze.
Yeah, from the Blaze, who was only posting about January 6th. Now they're saying that he has to surrender himself, and the FBI won't exactly tell him what he did. Well, now you have Snowden, who is sounding alarm over warrantless spying, and the Senate has now passed $886 billion NDAA again. So there are rising problems right now. You have an American populace who does not trust the American government. They don't trust the dollar. They don't trust law enforcement. They don't believe in the military anymore. And they just kind of want to focus on themselves. If anything, Generation Z and others has become the biggest preparedness generation that America has ever seen, the most awakened to all this garbage that we've ever seen. So you're going to have a problem with an internal domestic. You're going to have a lot of internal problems domestically. People aren't wanting to go to work. So the economy is going to take a hit there. If you put in another COVID-like variant hitting, you're going to have lockdowns. I mean, like, it, what's happening is some of the things that Dave and I say all the time is that you have these compounding events where one stacks upon another. You have events that drive the narratives. And for every event, for what doesn't work, you have a plan B, C, D, E. It just keeps going. And worst case scenarios, death by a thousand cuts, you just let it all start multiplying and happening at once. And then there's too many things, too many holes in the ship for us to plug, and the ship starts to sink. And when the ship starts to sink, the rats start to jump off the ship. Not only that, people begin to eat each other, kill each other over that shipping, that sinking ship too. Oh, and by the way, it's an election cycle again. So what more of a unique time is there for any of this to be happening than now?
I agree. I think there's no question this is what's going on. I think at the end of the day, the planners of doing this are having multiple strategies to bring this country down, and they're hoping if they throw enough stuff up on the wall, something will stick. That's how I think they're looking at this.
Well, I mean, you got the Republican.
Doug, let me ask you, what's it going to be, CBDC or nuclear war? And I think it depends. It could be either or both.
One could lead to the other.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I think people don't realize is, well, which, what are they going to do to us, Dave? You're talking about all these things. They have all these things ready to come at you as needed.
Yeah. Well, and we're getting this dog and pony show with Hunter Biden, who is saying that he's not going to show up for Congress. He's going to be in contempt of Congress. And I mean, since when was anyone ever afraid about that? I don't think Congress is going to send the FBI after Hunter Biden.
I think there's some that would, but the FBI would not carry out that mission.
Not at the current state, because it doesn't help anybody. Hunter will sing like a canary to save his own skin.
Do you think he'd give up daddy?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I count on it.
If that would happen, look out for Hunter Biden to slip on a banana peel. And it won't be daddy that plans its demise. It's the people around Biden that also benefit.
Well, I'm surprised there hasn't been a, quote, crazed person. I'm surprised there hasn't been a, quote, crazed person who hasn't tried to come after Hunter either.
There's your false flag. A MAGA person kills Hunter Biden.
Yeah, and let's say because Hunter gets tied into, you know, these eyes wide shut parties that he throws, and pedophilia and human trafficking. I mean, you can see the scenario.
Yeah,
being roused up.
This makes a lot of sense. I can see Hunter being martyred. Wow.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, who is Hunter?
I didn't see us going to this place, but I think it makes perfect sense now that I think about it. Yeah, I think Hunter could be martyred. Do you think that they'll kill Trump? What do you think?
I don't know. I know Tucker thinks that.
I know, he knows
that Tucker talks to his people, and they probably think that too. Whatever your issue is with Trump. Is he Illuminati? Is he a Kabbalist? Is he this? Is he that? I just find it interesting that a man who always puts his name on his buildings in giant gold letters, filled with a huge ego and pride for success, is then going to allow his kingdom that he's built to just collapse for the greater good. I don't see it. If Trump, maybe I'm delusional here, but if Trump was really on board with this, then why the song and dance of, you know, trying to destroy everything that man was and had become? Unless he turned against him.
Yeah, that's, well, there you go. There's Elon Musk and there's Trump. And I think Trump turned against him because with Elon Musk, it's revenge. With Trump, I think there's a different motivation. I think Trump has turned against these people because he wants to be the second George Washington. It's ego. He wants to save the country and get the credit. Yeah. That's how I see it. I think he's an egomaniac. Doug, we're just about out of time here. I think this is kind of where we leave it here based on what we've said. Is all of these things can be brought against the people of the United States by the globalists and their minions. It's hard to say which ones will step to the forefront. I think it'll be crimes of opportunity is what they'll do. Final word?
Everything's on the table.
I agree with that totally. I absolutely agree with that. I love how they gave a warning out over the holidays too. The DOJ and FBI said, you need to be on the lookout. Could be bad things happening. Yeah, who caused it to happen? What borders left open? Who's brought in 8 million people since he's been president? Yeah, thank you for the warning. What are you doing about it? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there we go. I'll say this. We've met the enemy and he's us. And I think that that's a good way to conclude.
Get close with Christ.
I agree. Train, prep, and pray. See you later, Doug. Thanks.